Hi, welcome to Howling Talent, the podcast that sheds light on human and animal talents in all fields. I'm Anna Roy.
And I'm Yvonne Dagger. Let's get howling. Today, we welcome back to our podcast. Laura Grevey's with us today. Laura is here in the USA, in America, visiting. And
from Australia.
Here from Australia. And Laura is here because she is doing research for a Churchill Fellowship. And she's come visited me in New York, which is wonderful. So Laura, tell us a little bit about the Churchill Fellowship.
Absolutely. Well,
and congratulations for winning it, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yes.
And thank you for having me back. It's so exciting to be back here again, and very exciting to be here in New York in the home of none other than Yvonne Dagger and the wonderful Picasso the Painting Dog, and of course, beautiful Barney. So I am currently about a month into a 5.5 week trip across the US. I've been doing, in total, I will be visiting 12 states in 35 days. So it's a bit of a whirlwind trip. And I'm doing it, as you said, because I have a Churchill Fellowship. So the Churchill Fellowships are awarded by the Winston Churchill Trust in Australia. It's actually in several Commonwealth countries. It's in the UK, New Zealand. I think it might even be in maybe India. I'm not sure, but a lot of different Commonwealth countries. And the Winston Churchill Trust was established almost immediately after the death of Winston Churchill in 1968. And people actually went door to door across the UK, shaking tins and collecting money to set up a trust in his honour, to kind of perpetuate his work and his legacy. So I forget the exact amount they raised. I think it was somewhere in the region of 50,000 or 60,000 pounds, which in the late 60s was a hell of a lot of money. And then they've invested it over the years to the extent that today its value is, I believe, somewhere in excess of $150 million or something like Australian dollars. I could be wrong on that, but it's grown exponentially. And so the Winston Churchill Trust awards fellowships to Australians to give them the opportunity to go overseas and research a project that is not easily researched in Australia, but that will benefit the Australian community. And it doesn't have to be something that's aligned with your profession. That's the beauty of it. It can be something that's just an idea that you want to pursue, a passion that you have, a project that you want to find out more about. And if you can demonstrate that it will benefit the people of Australia, then you might be fortunate enough to receive one, which I was. So I asked, I proposed to come here to the States to research animal assisted therapy programs with a view to establishing a program in Australia specifically for children in foster care. Yeah.
How difficult was the process to get the fellowship?
It wasn't necessarily difficult. It was definitely long. So I applied, I think it was around March 2023. Initially, it's a written application. Then if you get through the first round, you're invited to an interview in your state. Then if you get through that, you're invited to another interview in your state. And the panel of interviewees is people, former Churchill Fellows themselves and people that are experts in different fields. So the fellowships are awarded in various categories. So there's like education and environment and community development and things like that. So each of the people on the panel is an expert in one or more of those areas.
Right.
So I applied in March 2023. I was awarded the fellowship in September last year. Then there was a fantastic couple of days in Canberra, Australia's capital city, where all 104 fellows from around Australia came together to learn and share what we're working on. And it was a really amazing, inspirational couple of days. And then some people went straight off on their fellowships, whereas I left mine another 14 months and left at the start of November this year. So Yeah, almost 2 years of planning, really.
Wow.
Um,
I was
have
going to say,
gone.
there's a lot of planning to put together what you've put together.
Yes,
Yeah.
incredibly. So, when you make your initial application, the written application, you have to include a proposed itinerary. And that
Oh.
is what the trust uses to decide how much your fellowship will be worth.
Right.
So they award you a dollar amount based on what you've said you want to do. So if I had my time again, I would have probably put a little more detail into my proposed itinerary, because what ended up happening is that the further I got into the planning, the more incredible organizations and people I came across. So I ended up actually visiting twice as many people and places as I initially proposed. So I have had to stretch my money a little bit further, but
Yeah.
it's well worth it.
How has your experience been so far?
It has been incredible. Another great thing that the church or trust does is pair you up with a mentor, someone who's already done a fellowship. And I remember my mentor, who's an incredible woman called Desalee Tate, said to me, "This will be life-changing." And I remember thinking, "I'm sure it's going to be great, but I mean, really, how much is it going to sort of change my life?" But she was absolutely right. It has. The experiences that I've had, the people that I've met, the things I've learned, and the ideas that those things have then inspired,
Right.
truly has been life-changing. I know that when I go back, the program that I start will be completely different from what I initially envisaged, but in the best
Interesting.
possible way. Yeah, it's sort of evolving every day with every new person that I meet and
Sure.
new program that I observe. So I'm incredibly lucky.
Wow, that is
Where did
awesome.
you start in the States? Which states have you visited so far? Sure. Well, I landed in Los Angeles just because that's where the flights from Sydney land.
Right.
And then I went to Chicago. I was there for about a week, and I visited with two incredible programs, Canine Therapy Corps and Rainbow Animal Assisted Therapy. Then I
Right.
went down to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I
Oh.
spent time with a really incredible woman called Melissa Winkle. So Melissa is the Vice President of Animal Assisted Interventions International. She's also an extremely experienced occupational therapist, and she has a private occupational therapy in Albuquerque, and she has four of her own therapy dogs. So
Wow.
she and
Wow.
she's an accredited dog trainer as well. So she has trained her own dogs, and she uses them in all of her appointments
Wow.
with young people there. She's a absolutely lovely person. She was so welcoming to me. She let me, I had a bird's eye view onto all of her sessions, and I just really came away feeling like if there's anything she doesn't know about animal assisted therapy, it probably isn't worth knowing. From Albuquerque, I went up to Minneapolis, and I spent time with a fantastic program there called Canine Inspired Change. Then I went to Indianapolis and worked with Pause and Think, another wonderful organization. And in fact, when I was in Indianapolis, I threw in a little side trip to Ohio to go and meet with another wonderful dog owner that I had written about in one of my books.
Oh, yes,
So
I saw that.
her name's Katie, and I wrote about her teeny weeny chihuahua Yiddle, who is best friends with an enormous llama. I wrote about them in my book, A Dog's Best Friend. So I went out to Katie's farm, and I got to meet Yiddle and Kevin. Sadly, the llama has sadly passed away, but I got to meet Yiddle and all of his other animal friends.
How
So
lovely.
from Indianapolis, I then went to Detroit and worked with a really incredible program there called Teacher's Pet, which I can tell you more about. It's probably the program that's had the biggest impact on me so far.
Yep,
Then I went to Boston. I spent Thanksgiving there with a friend. I spent a day at the Boston Children's Hospital. I went out to Tufts University, where they have a specialist human academic, human animal interaction research lab. So I met with some of the academics who
Wow.
were involved in that and talked to them about their research. Then I drove to Brewster in upstate New York, and I spent a couple of days with Green Chimneys, which is this amazing and very innovative school that provides farm-based and nature-based education to young people who have been excluded from the mainstream school system for various reasons. And now here I am on Long Island with Yvonne.
Wow.
Yeah, and I still have another week to go before I fly home.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Oh my goodness. And where are you going from here after your
Yeah,
after
from
week?
here, I am going to rural Pennsylvania to meet with Dr. Risa Van Fleet, who is a very well known in the field of animal-assisted play therapy.
Okay.
Then I'm going to two different cities in Virginia, and then I'm going to a conference in New Jersey, and then into Philadelphia, but only to jump on a plane back to Los Angeles. Then when I get
Wow.
back to LA, I'm meeting with another wonderful person that I wrote about in my
Oh,
book. Her name
wonderful.
is Kim Murphy, and her dog, a Labrador, actually, just like Picasso, was a surfer. He learned how to
Oh,
surf,
wow.
and he worked with a charity out there that teaches young people with intellectual disabilities how to
Isn't
surf.
that beautiful?
And then I'm
Interesting.
flying home, which seems like, oh yeah, that's right. I've got a
Wow.
whole other life waiting for me on the other side of
It's the
the planet.
truth. It's the truth. But wow, what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
It's been incredible. It really has.
Wow, my
Yeah.
goodness.
You said that your what you originally thought you were going to be doing when you go back to Australia, you've now changed, having met and seen various
Yeah.
things during this trip. How has it changed? Are you able to tell us a bit about
Yeah,
your thought process
absolutely.
now, what you were going to do and what you're going to do now, and how and why that's changed?
Definitely. So I have set up a company called Muddy Cuddles,
Okay.
and Muddy Cuddles is going to provide free animal-assisted therapy to children and young people in foster care.
Wonderful.
And when I say I've completely changed, what that means is when I came to the States, I really had no idea what form that was going to take.
Right.
I didn't know if I would be, training volunteers with their own dogs to become therapy dog teams that would then go and visit with young people in care. I didn't know if it would be training a facility dog that then becomes a permanent staff member at a foster care agency. I really didn't know what shape it was going to take. And the goal of the trip, at least when I started, was to really crystallize in my own mind what my program would look like. And as I was saying to Yvonne earlier today, I've failed miserably on that front because instead of narrowing down my options, I've only expanded them. So now I think I will do that visitation model, but I'm also keen to set up a structured goal-oriented therapy program whereby children come to a designated facility. You've got to figure that part of it out as well, exactly where that will be, and work with the dogs with specific goals in mind. And then, as I mentioned, the program that I've visited with in Detroit that really had a big impact on me. I mean, they all have, but this one in particular just really touched me, was Teacher's Pet has a program where they take hard to adopt dogs from a local shelter and they take them into the local maximum security juvenile detention center. And the boys, they have a program with girls as well, but the one I was part of was boys. The boys then train those dogs in kind of basic obedience and also help to socialize them and just really, love on them because a lot of these dogs haven't experienced that. So the dogs learn important manners and skills that are more likely to help them get adopted. And the boys learn really crucial life skills like patience and empathy and kindness and resilience. And they get a much needed boost to their self-confidence and self-esteem. Amy, the woman who founded that program, sums it up beautifully. She said, "How often do kids in this situation get to take care of something more vulnerable than they are?" And that's what it's really about, And what struck me so much about it was that the boys, and some of them have committed extremely serious offenses, violent offenses. I'm sure you can imagine, what I'm referring to. And they were all so thoughtful and so deeply aware of what this program is doing for them. They see the parallels between this dog has been abused and I have been abused. This dog has experienced abandonment or neglect, and so have I. So they understand why they're being paired and what they're there to do for each other.
Sure.
And just
Right.
seeing that level of self-awareness and self-reflection in a group of young men that people are very quick to write off was extremely heartening to me and extremely inspirational, because I could see, I mean, I already know the value of animal-assisted therapy for children, for vulnerable children or children with a trauma background, but to see it in such a concrete and clear way, that's the one program I've seen so far where I've said, I want this exact thing to be a part of what Muddy Cuddles offers. Yeah. So, yeah, when I get home, I will be reaching out to all the local juvenile detention centers and shelters and figuring out how to make that happen.
Figuring out how to make that happen. I know that I have seen where we've taken canine companion dogs and brought them into the jails and and we've actually had the inmates puppy raise them, and they become successful service dogs. And these inmates, they are so proud of themselves, and they should be, because they've really accomplished such a great task.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is what happens. This is,
When I went into the facility, the trainers said, "Oh, go and introduce yourselves to all the boys. They're quite happy to chat about what it is that they're doing." And there was one young man in the corner who was a little, he seemed more reserved. And they said, "Oh, say hi to him, but don't expect to get much back from him. He never really says much." So I went and had a quick chat with him. And yeah, he was quite a taciturn young man. But one of the trainers came running over to me afterwards and said, "Oh, you'll never believe what just happened. I just saw that young man reach over, give his dog an enormous hug, and say, 'I love you so much. You make me so happy.'"
Oh,
Wow.
wow. Bless.
These boys, they're tough kids, and there's things at play in these centers, like gang rivalries and boys that can't even walk past each other in a corridor. And for one of these young men to say aloud how the impact that this dog is having on him, like that's not nothing.
Huge.
That's
No, I
huge. It
know.
is.
I know.
So that was an incredible experience.
Well, these kids, at what ages are you referring to? I assume teens.
Yes, they were teens. They were
I mean,
between
they've
16,
basically lived a
17.
life of violence, and this is probably one of the first non-violent situations that they're facing. And these
Exactly.
dogs
And
are
what's really interesting about that program is each session goes for 2 hours, and the first hour is spent training the dogs and just hanging out with the dogs. But the second hour each week is classroom based, and it follows a set curriculum that's been developed by teachers and by social workers. And each cl class focuses on a different thing. So it could be like responsible pet ownership, pet care, those kinds of things. But because of this cohort being where they are, they also spend a week learning about pit bulls, because
Interesting.
a lot of these boys, that's the breed of dog or the type of dog that they have spent the most time with. And they spend another week learning about dog fighting and, all the ethical questions and everything around that, because a lot of these boys have had firsthand experience of it. So it's a very realistic, real world, like, you talk about model fidelity or high fidelity programs. This is one, because it's based in the real world that
That's
these young men are coming
amazing.
from. It blew me away. I mean, as I say, every program I've seen has been, you can tell that they're changing lives, but this one in particular, I just went, "Ugh, this is
This is
unbelievable."
it.
When you hit something like that, and you see the enormity of how it has helped, or it is helping these young men, these young boys that are troubled and traumatized and have caused serious harm to maybe two other people, and you see how they've been transformed by just being with a dog,
I mean, if these boys weren't wearing prison greens, you would have no idea that they were in a prison setting. They were just typical, they seemed to me to be just typical teenage boys goofing around, having a good time, loving the dogs, but also just having such clear insights into what the program is all about and how it was benefiting them. It was really eye-opening.
Yeah, how great that is.
So
And
what are your next steps when you go back to Australia then?
well, I get back just in time for Christmas, so I'm not going to think about much else until that's done. And once I've fought my young children off me as they clamber for the gifts, they're sure I've got for them. I do have to write a 20,000 word report for the Churchill Trust, about my experiences and also my recommendations. So that's a key part of it as well. It's not just I went and saw
That's
all this cool
great.
stuff.
That's
It's
great.
this is how I think it can be applied for the benefit of Australia. So I don't actually get to call myself officially a Churchill Fellow until I have submitted that report. So I'll be doing that as my first, thing on the agenda. And then it will be getting Muddy Cuddles off the ground. So I think last time we spoke, I was working for Assistance Dogs Australia, which is the Australian equivalent of Canine Companions. So I left my role there a couple of months ago so that I could focus
On
full
this.
time on getting Muddy Cuddles happening. But I didn't want to rush into it and make any quick decisions before I had done my fellowship, because I knew that I would come back with so much more information and so many ideas. So yeah, the early part of next year will be about bringing those ideas together, sifting through all the 50 million ideas I have and looking at what's the most feasible and what's going to have the most impact in the shortest amount of time, figuring out how I'm going to pay for all of that. And then yeah, getting the first dogs trained up and out there into the care community.
Have you been taking notes right along? I mean,
So many.
how do you keep right? How do you keep track of all of this? I mean, it's a lot for somebody to, just absorb and then to take a break from it. I mean, I think of myself and I think that if I take a break from something, I'm inevitably going to forget
Yes,
something
I
that
am the same.
happened.
Yeah. Do you know, it was funny because I was saying to Desi, my mentor, before I left, I am definitely at the end of each day, I'm going to type up all my notes, because I have ADHD. I forget a lot of things. I'm also a terrible procrastinator.
Me
So
too.
often I say things like that and then just absolutely don't do them at all. And she kind of laughed and said, "Oh yeah, I said that too, and I don't think I did that once." But actually, I've done it. I have managed to do it
Oh,
every
good for
day, which is
you.
not a me thing to do at all.
That's
And
wonderful.
I made this whole organizational system where I'm sorting my notes by state, and like it's very
Wow,
streamlined,
that is really,
which is
really great.
very unlike me. I mean, it's all very messy stream of consciousness kind of stuff, but at least I have a good basis to pluck things from and whip into shape.
It'll whatever word, even a word that you write, will spark a memory of what that was or
That's
what
right.
you know, and that's so good. Oh,
Yeah,
congratulations on
I know.
that.
I'm quite
That's
proud of myself
terrific.
because it's not the way, even as I was saying, this is how I'm going to do it, there was a voice in my brain going, "You're definitely not going to do that." So the fact that I've done it is like
That's
pretty
great. So
good.
all of these things must have made a very, very, very big impression on you and given you some insight into what the future is going to be.
Definitely, and what the needs are of the community that I'm aiming to serve. And another thing that's been so wonderful is I've gotten to meet so many fantastic kids and young adults who are participating in this program, and I was able to ask them, directly, what does this do for you and what do you like about it, which
Isn't
is
that
great.
great?
And I've been so like overwhelmed by everyone's kindness and generosity because I kind of come at everything with the viewpoint of I'm being a giant bother and everyone wishes I wasn't asking them these questions, which is my own, complex. But people have just been so unbelievably forthcoming in terms of sharing their knowledge. No one's been protective of things, no one's been gatekeeping. There was when I met with one of the organizations in Chicago, I noticed they had a printout of some like key training skills and what their therapeutic value was. And I said to the woman who runs it, oh, I wonder, would you mind if I took a photo of that printout? Because I think that'd be really valuable. And she said, why don't I just give you the password to the back end of the website and you can go in there and download anything you want? And I
Oh,
was
how
like,
wonderful.
okay, that'd be great. And everyone's been like that. People have been giving me their training manuals
Oh,
and,
isn't that wonderful? That's
Copies
great.
of books and documents that they rely on. And I mean, obviously, I'm not going to go and just use that exactly for
Yeah,
what
but
I, yeah,
you
and
can
people are
take
happy for
some
me to
things
do
from it,
that.
which is a big help. I always, as an artist myself, I always feel it's so important to, you're not stealing from them. You're just borrowing their ideas and utilizing them for your own advancement, which is going to be very drastically different from theirs. It's you're in a different country and so they know this. I think that
Yeah,
they're
I think so.
aware
And I think,
of that.
and this is probably true of many different human services sectors, but the impression that I got is that these organizations and the people who work for and volunteer for them are so passionate about the work that they do and the impact that it has that they're only too happy to help perpetuate that.
Yes,
Like
yes.
if by giving me a copy of their training manual means that one child in foster care in Australia has a better experience,
Yes.
then they're happy to do it.
Right. Right.
And
Well, they also know how difficult this sort of thing is
yeah,
because
that's
they've been
right.
through it, they're living it. So it's also about teamwork. And when they know that somebody's as passionate about this as they are,
Yes, I
they're
think
happy
that's
to
a big
help.
part of it. And it's definitely inspired me to do the same when I go back to Australia. You know, if anyone wants to know how I'm doing what I'm doing, I would be more than happy to share. You know, you've got
So you
to
pay it
carry that
forward. Is
generosity.
there anything negative that you came across? Something that you weren't expecting?
I wouldn't say a negative, but one thing that did surprise me was that very few of the programs I encountered have what I would call a trauma-informed lens on their volunteers. So volunteers are often going into extremely traumatic, difficult, challenging settings and circumstances, especially the programs that have crisis response teams. So, you know, they're going into schools after shootings and police departments after an officer has lost their life. And it's admirable and important work, but I would say, and what's available to the handler, to the dog handler after this has happened? And there was really only a couple of organizations that had specific processes in place or resources available. The best example was Canine Inspired Change out of St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Their volunteers all do a module of what they call TILT training, which is trauma-informed lens training. So they are actually equipped with specific skills to be kind of stewards of other people's trauma, but also protect themselves. So yeah, as I say, not a negative, but definitely something that I think a lot of these organizations will start to move more towards as
Well, it's a
we.
negative from the point of view that it's not in place and it's something that is very important.
It is, but I think, you know, a lot of the time, people that go into this kind of work often are therapists or social workers. And so they do have some of those skills.
They have background,
Yeah, but for those who don't have that background, I do think it's really important. But there does seem to be more of a shift towards that
That's
happening.
good.
And, you know, it's important for the organizations too, because you don't want to risk fantastic volunteers or a really great team experiencing compassion fatigue or burnout and then deciding they don't want to do it anymore. You know, that's a great loss to the organization and to the community. So it's really important for everyone, I think.
Yeah, not to mention the mental health of the
A good
person
point.
that's going through it.
Yeah, that's exactly
That's a
right.
wonderful, wonderful point. Wonderful point.
Thank you.
So you say you've got another week ahead of you. Be prepared for that week.
I was saying to Yvonne earlier, I have noticed just in the last couple of days, it's getting a little harder to get out of bed in the morning. I think that's because it's -5 degrees centigrade everywhere I go on the East Coast.
Yes, right.
But I've had the best time, and I recognize what a privilege this is. So I am definitely not complaining. Having said that, a month of constant travel and lack of sleep and probably not eating that well, I think he's starting to catch up with me a little bit. So, and also I just miss my kids and my
Yeah,
husband and my fam and
of
my
course.
dogs. So I will definitely look forward to getting home. But yeah, I just,
What
yeah, I'll never forget this
a
experience.
wonderful experience though that you are having. And
Truly.
it's and I have to say that it is such an honor to have you here, Laura. To be to you know, we've talked, we've had a podcast with you, we've corresponded emails back and forth and through your books and all of this, and to have you come visit and to actually meet you in person is quite an honor. And
And for me
this
too.
is wonderful. It really is wonderful.
Yeah, to see the
So
studio where, Dagger painted and now Picasso paints and where you paint, of course. It's wonderful. It's
whenever.
all I'm so grateful for the way you've welcomed me to Long Island and into your home. And
Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
it's been wonderful. So
Thanks.
I'm very,
And
very happy to be here.
we're absolutely thrilled that you came back to talk to us on Howling Talent. Give us a nice catch up.
Oh, my absolute
Exactly.
pleasure.
Exactly. We've been looking forward to chatting with you about it, I have to
Oh,
say.
good,
This
good.
is a
I'm glad.
conversation Yvonne and I have had over the last few weeks. So, So we have to have you back.
I would love to come back.
yeah,
Thank
wonderful.
you.
So, to all our loyal listeners, thank you once again for joining us. Remember to tune in to all our podcast episodes on our website, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And do share them on social media. We enjoy your company and we always welcome new listeners. So until next time, everyone, take care.